We've been looking at the qualities of Ahlul Jannah, and in particular the quality of communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The human being communicates with him through the medium of dua, and his communication comes in the form of the book, which is the Qur'an, and that is elucidated by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the awliya. We've concentrated on ayah 201 of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا عَاتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And from them there are those who say, Our Rabb, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and protect us from the punishment of the fire, or save us from the punishment of the fire. Yesterday we looked at the mu'mineen, those who believed and those who disbelieved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first opening ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah divides the human being into three categories. We looked at those who believe, those who disbelieve, and as I mentioned yesterday, the most difficult group to identify is the munafiqeen, the hypocrites as such, and 13 ayat have been dedicated towards this identification. It's very important to understand that just as the Prophet ﷺ said, that nifaq will enter you like a black ant on a black rock on a black night. It's very, very difficult. It's very, very subtle. So maybe we can pay attention to these ayat. And again I repeat that this is looking at ourselves rather than pointing fingers and saying this person is so and so or such and such, unless we're trying to say something good about them. My father always used to say, when you point one finger at someone, remember the other four are pointing back at you. So let's start. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. Now, incidentally, that's ayah number 8. And from people, مَنْ يَقُولُ. There are those who say, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. We believe in Allah. وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And in the last day. In other words, they are saying that they understand the consequence of their actions, that they are accountable for themselves. It's a matter of speech, they're saying it. وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. But they do not believe it. If they believed it, they would be a different sort of character behind them. They're just saying it. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. He says, look what they're doing. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ. They wish to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ عَمَنُوا. And those who believe. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ. إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. But they're only deceiving themselves. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. But they do not perceive that. When we have doubts within us, when we do not believe within, but we're just saying it with our words, we may put up the garb or the dress of anything at all. We may pretend to be things, but at the end of the day, we're only fooling ourselves. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. But the sad thing is, he says, وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They do not perceive it within themselves. Because it has become a way of life, it has become a habit to be something else and portray something else. They think it is the norm. We've got to look within ourselves and see. To really dig deep and see. What am I and who do I portray myself as? See what he goes on. He says, في قلوبهم مرض. There is an illness in their hearts. There is a sickness. فزادهم الله مرضا. And Allah increases that illness. ولهم عذاب عليم بما كانوا يكذبون. And for them there is a painful punishment because they lied. The hypocrite is sick, and the sicknesses of the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Remember, the word qalb comes from qalaba, which means to turn, to return, to be free. A healthy heart is one which is unattached and free of desires, expectations, and disappointments. The desire of the hypocrite's sick heart is based on self-deception. Allah's generosity, which is vast, promises an increase which only serves to increase this desire. The outcome, therefore, of this situation is nothing but confusion and suffering. By extension, that means there is no peace. Now look what happens. This is a psychological profile of one who says something and believes in something else. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ When it is said to them, لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ Don't act corruptly in the land. قَالُوا They say, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ Indeed, we are only those who put things in order and concile things. And Allah says, أَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَا قِلَّا يَشْعُرُونَ Indeed, they are those who act corruptly, but they do not perceive. Then he says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ And when it is said to them, آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ Believe as people believe. قَالُوا, they say, أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَحَى Shall we believe as the foolish people believe? عَلَىٰ إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَحَاءُ وَلَاكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Surely they themselves are the fools, but they do not know. See, all created beings reflect the attributes of the Creator of eternity and living an ongoingness, and therefore they resist accepting any discontinuity in life or any separation or duality. Even the sick at heart, when shown their denial of unity, react by denying the information in order to perpetuate their confused system of belief and resultant habits. A symptom of this disease is self-elevation and arrogance. Now that is what serves to perpetuate the false concept and belief by making one elevate oneself over others. See, the would-be deceivers look down upon other systems and denounce the people who follow it as foolish, as insolent, as impudent. That's the meaning of sufaha. In reality, they themselves are foolish, because if they allowed themselves to their fitrat, if they allowed access to themselves, they would know better. But they've lost the way to their own self-knowledge. What is this self-knowledge? This fitrat, this natural and basic disposition. First of all, fitra is derived from the word fatara, which means to split or take apart. It also means to create. Non-existence, cracked and split open, reveals its opposite, creation. True knowledge, knowledge that transforms you, is only accessed if you dive deep to reach that inner being. And the hypocrite, who is foolish, who is ignorant, clutters his or her life, fills the heart with illusions, with desires, with attachment, with wanting, and blocks the access to this crack. And therefore it doesn't come forth. So let's try and sum up a little bit. So here we are, we have an individual who says something else, believes something else. There is a sickness in this heart, which makes the heart believe that he or she is right, and divine precepts are wrong, and those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are foolish. And how does he or she do that? How does it come up? There is a self-elevation, there is an arrogance, and the whole life is cluttered with illusions, desires, attachment, and love of the world. Look what happens when they meet those who believe. Now Allah says, this is their reaction. وَإِذَا لَكُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا When they meet those who believe, قَالُوا آمَنَّا They say, we believe. But look what happens. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ شَيَاطِينِهِمْ When they're alone with their shayateen. And what is shaitan? The word shaitan comes from the word shatana, which means to rebel, to be distant, to someone who is cast off the path of light and mercy. Shaitan opposes Rahman, the merciful. So when they're alone with their rebelliousness, with their insides, قالوا, they say, إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ We are with you. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَحَذِيُونَ We were only mocking. Mockery is ultimately harmful to the self because it's a negative attitude. The human being seeks security. That is why one who has not gained the security of Iman, Amni security, is bound to exhibit his illusions and false concepts when he's back in his familiar environment and up to his old habits. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, he says, Allahu yastahziu bihim, Allah mocks them, wa yamudduhum fi tughyanihim, and they are prolonged and reinforced in their inordinacy. Ya'mahun, so that they blindly wander on. Because reality reflects the intentions and actions of a human being, then those who wish to mock are allowed through. And that is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is free will. It reflects what you want. Every system perpetuates and feeds upon itself. The path of belief, if followed, will bring increase. The path of hypocrisy will likewise bring about increase, so that those within it fall deeper and deeper and deeper. Remember, that is his rahmah. You get what you want. If your inner desire is to fool yourself, you will continue fooling yourself, even more so. If your inner desire is to believe, you will believe. We cannot expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hold our hands and pull us out of it, because he has given us this wonderful gift of free will. See, life in essence is growth, it's dynamic. Creation begins from a non-existence and it's expanding. Eventually, the entire cosmos and everything will contract back to this timeless zone, back to an eternal void, but within the grip of the divine. Now this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what they have done. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَهُ الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْحَدَىٰ. These are the ones who have bought error for guidance. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ. This exchange, this business will bring no profit. وَمَا كَانُوا مُحْتَدِينَ. And they are not amongst those who are on a right course. Guidance to the truth is the birthright of the human being. Like an inheritance, it must be reclaimed here and now. If we exchange it for misguidance because we have been encouraged by the characteristics of insecurities, fears of the unknown, habits, all the rest of it, then there is no profit, there is no right course. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a parable, one of the most beautiful parables we have. He says, مَثَلَهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. Their example, their parable, it can be exemplified by one who lights a fire, who kindles a fire. فَلَمَّا غَذَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَحَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَقَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ اللَّهِ يُبْصِرُونَ. When it has illuminated all around him, Allah took away their light and left them in utter darkness, so they do not see. The confused hypocrite occasionally catches a glimpse of real light, but if he does not follow and kindle that spark, then he has denied light and any higher guidance. He inevitably ends up more confused in the darkness of doubt and disconnection. See, let me try and verse this in a different way. It's like a human being who is surrounded by blinding darkness in which he cannot distinguish good from bad, beneficial from harmful. To remove it, he lights a fire. Now in that light, he is able to see some distance around it. But as soon as it is illuminated all round, it is extinguished by wind, rain, or anything else, and he's left as before in utter darkness. But now he's pressed between two darknesses, that of the night and that of bewilderment, and the fruitfulness of his endeavor. A hypocrite declares himself to be a Muslim. Through it he gains the benefit, the light, and he's treated as a Muslim in matters of every conduct, whether it is marriage or inheritance or community benefits, whatever. But as soon as death approaches, the time when the real and complete benefits of Islam should have appeared, Allah takes away that light. Because the advantages he had was by deceit. When it comes to reality, they are taken away. They nullify his deeds. They leave him in utter darkness in which he cannot see at all. Thus he falls between two darknesses, the original one and the one which is added with his dark deeds. ثُمَّ بُقْمٌ أَمْيَنْ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجَعُونَ. Deaf, dumb and blind, they will not return. Often in the Quran, raja, which is return, denotes repentance. A return from what is not real, back to the real, which was always there but had been forgotten or neglected. And this includes the heart's attachments, fears and insecurities. Here Allah says they do not return to reality because they've built around themselves a force field of untruth. He gives another parable. He He says, "أو كسيب من السماء فيه ظلمات ورعد وبرق." Or it is like dark rain clouds from the sky, in which there is رعد, thunder, وبرق, and lightning. يجعلون أصابعهم في آذانهم من الصواعق حذر الموت. They put their fingers into their ears from the thunderclap because of fear of death. والله محيط بالكافرين. And Allah encompasses the unbelievers. Part of the beauty of a storm is thunder and lightning. But if you're afraid to come close to that system and examine it, then you remain in ignorance. Ignorance is the barrier to experiencing Tawheed. You cannot but help be awestruck by the majesty of Allah's manifestations. You can either choose to understand or remain fearfully ignorant. Let's look at the last ayah, which elaborates this and then elaborate it further. Allah says, يَقَابِ الْبَرْقُ يَخْتَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. The lightning almost takes away their sight. كُلَّمَا أَضَعَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْ فِيهِ وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ كَامُوا. Whenever the lightning shines, they walk. When it becomes dark, they stand still. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. If Allah had pleased, لَذَحَبَ بِسَمْئِهِمْ وَعَبْصَارِهِمْ. He would certainly have taken away their hearing and their sight. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى قُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, Allah has power over all things. Deaf, dumb, and blind, if you do not hear, speak, or see, there is no interaction with natural creation. The light of truth is so devastating that not only does it overwhelm the sight, but it brings about the realization of the ego's shadowy existence. This implies that the person who doesn't believe cannot experience unity, for he has not surrendered. He moves only when the signs seem conducive, and then he stops in the darkness, repelled whenever the signs go against his ego, his self. See, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that there's a human being who's caught in a rain pour. Okay, imagine that. There's darkness surrounding him. He's unable to see around. He loses his bearings. The rain tells him to run away, to find a shelter somewhere. But darkness prevents it. Frightening thunder and lightning bolts overwhelm him. When lightning appears, he tries to take its advantage by walking ahead in its light, but it only appears for a fleeting moment and then disappears. Whenever it shines, he walks. When darkness engulfs him, he stops. Now let's relate it to the hypocrite. He's exactly in the same position. He doesn't like Islam, but has to profess to be a Muslim. His words do not reach his heart. What he says is different from what he believes in his heart. Because of this, his path is not illuminated as it should have been. Result is that he gropes about aimlessly and stumbles every now and then, walks a little, stops, and is punished with disgrace. Had he wished so, Allah would have disgraced him right from the start. But he's allowing him his time. This is what he wants. These ayahs really need to be read again and again and again. They're probably one of the most important parts of this surah. It's actually self-knowledge to look within ourselves. Am I confused about something? Am I not addressing it? Am I letting it fester? There are odd moments of light when I feel good and then suddenly I feel confused again. Have I got everything in life but still not sukune dil, as you call it, or itminane qalb? Is there a problem? Search within yourself. Again, I repeat, it's an opportunity to look within oneself. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the symptoms. If we display them within ourselves, then we need to address them. Remember, there is a cure for everything. But the cure can only be initiated if we recognize the illness. And the first step is to recognize the illness within ourselves. He calls it an illness. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. It is an illness. Let's recognize it if we have it within ourselves. Keep a check on it. If, alhamdulillah, we find we don't portray these symptoms, then remember, prevention is better than cure. Always to remain vigilant.